As our world continues to feel heavy and uncertain, as we are facing great change, which is the theme of the month ahead, today's episode will explore simple ways to stay grounded, calm, and centered when experiencing change. You're listening to the Guided Collective podcast, your weekly dose of insights, inspiration, and information, helping you align your life's path and purpose. I'm your host, Helen Jacobs. I'm an author, speaker, and mentor passionate about intuition, self-discovery, and soul purpose. And I'm known for my practical psychic predictions and energy forecasts. Stick around as we explore how to tune into and express your true self so you can live the life you were born to live. When everything around us is swirling, whether at the macro or collective level, or just in our own personal world, it's easy to get caught up in the changes that are occurring. I clairvoyantly see this like a revolving restaurant, so bear with me. At its core, the restaurant isn't moving, but the scenery outside is. Now, if we're in a revolving restaurant and we were to focus on the scenery, we could easily become disoriented or really try and chase after a familiar scene only to kind of tire ourselves out. Instead, if we were to stay grounded in the center or in the core, in this case of the revolving restaurant, we can witness what is swirling, what's moving in front of us, while still staying calm and grounded. We wouldn't necessarily get caught up in what's happening or shifting out there. So if we take this image and apply it to a very micro level, we can focus on our inner world change. We can stay centered in our core. Then we will eventually see that arrive in our outer world. What's spinning won't get us so frazzled. However, when change does begin in our outer world, we can certainly run the risk of panicking. All too often, change doesn't look like what we thought it would, or it doesn't feel like what we thought it would. People, things, opportunities drop away, and we latch on to what is shifting and revolving outside of us, and our mind convinces us that it's actually a sign that the inner work isn't working. Oh, but it is. Our job is to stay aligned with the change we are seeking and to trust the process that it is actually taking us where we want to go. We just need to make it through the messy middle, and we need to do that by staying centered in the core, not rushing out into what is swirling or moving or potentially revolving outside of us. Right now, our collective is moving through massive change and upheaval. Now, of course, some of that requires immediate attention. There's also a process of change in response to what we're seeing moving and revolving and shifting out there. I recently came across a definition of sorts of change and transition, and albeit it was on a website exploring workplace and organizational change, so not quite relevant, but I thought it was interesting that I landed upon it, so I'll share it here. It had defined change as a process. It is continual and has predictable patterns. Change takes place outside of the individual. And the example on this particular website was around restructuring in the workplace. It could be a new program focus, workforce expansion, or downsizing. Transition, however, they explained as what a person experiences internally. So, for example, the confusion, uncertainty, loss, fear, or anger in response to the external change that is taking place. So we can see that as the changes that are occurring in our world right now are occurring, they are happening in that, for most of us, I assume, listening to this podcast, they are happening in that revolving part of the restaurant. Most of us listening to this podcast are not in immediate danger. And so we are seeing these changes take place in our world, but are needing to internally transition in response to those changes. So I'm going to share with you just five things that we can do to help us stay calm and centered and grounded while the outer world shifts and changes. Now, of course, this is not about taking the actions that we do need to take to address what's happening in our outer world. That is a separate conversation. And so instead, what I am sharing here are really simple ways to allow ourselves to stay strong and present in our bodies, in our lives, so we can address the change moving in front of us. Okay, so the first one is going to sound very simple, but it works, and that is breath and meditation. Now, the reason that I'm suggesting this is that focusing on our breath and meditating actually shifts us from our sympathetic nervous system to our parasympathetic nervous system, which is a really fancy way of saying that it helps move our nervous system from fight or flight back to a state of rest, relaxation, and calm. It is what allows us to find the core so that we can have non-attachment to what is swirling in the outer world. Now, non-attachment is different from detachment. I don't want us to be avoidant. I don't suggest that we ignore and shut down, because that's not going to serve anybody. Instead, a non-attachment allows us to not go whirling around in this hypothetical revolving restaurant, but instead to be centered and calm so we can observe what is revolving and respond accordingly. So let's just take a couple of deep breaths here together. A really deep breath into the belly. And actually, I've instinctively put my hands on my belly so that I can feel it fill up. So fill up your belly and fill up your chest. And then as you exhale, expel the breath from your chest and then from your belly. You may even want to take a couple of breaths like this with your eyes closed. And just from those couple of breaths, just notice the shift that happens in your system. So when we practice a more formal kind of meditation, so for me, I have learned transcendental meditation. So I'm not necessarily talking about guided meditations like the ones that I sell, for the minute. There is something here about having a technique that brings us outside of that sympathetic nervous system and back to the parasympathetic, back to calm in our nervous system. And by practicing that daily, we build a resistance, we build a immunity of sorts, so that when the restaurant starts revolving, when external change comes into our world, we have built a muscle to respond to it. So, breath and meditation is important, but it is long term. It can help quickly shift us, but it's something we need to do regularly to have the benefits from. Okay, the second point here that I'd like to share is around grounding your energy, or if I said this in another way, it's really about being present in your body. Now, this could look like the ground, clear, and protect your energy meditation that is available on thelittlesage.com, but you can also do this by standing barefoot on the earth if that's available to you, or to some sort of natural surface underneath your feet. This could be about visualizing the energy moving through your body and connecting you to the earth. Now, we can ground our energy through the foods that we're eating. We can also ground our energy by being very present in our physical body. So physically, this may look like moving your body. It may be through dance, through touch. It may even be through using your voice, and not necessarily directed towards the changes that I'm referring to. Instead, it may simply be chanting or allowing sound to come out of your body in such a way that is not censored or overthought. These kinds of practices allow us to get back in touch with our physical senses, to become really aware of our own bodies, so that we're not actually outside of ourselves energetically or even mentally. Often when there is big events happening in our world, whether that is what's happening in Ukraine at the moment, whether it is the floods that have just happened in my hometown and also in northern New South Wales as I'm recording this, that is still occurring, or whether it is the pandemic, we are going to continue seeing big change. And so we have to get really well practiced at being present in our bodies, which also requires us to feel what is in our body. Things like movement, dance, touch, using our voice allows us to process what is in our body without mentally processing it. Sometimes just allowing our body to move that kind of energy without mentally interpreting it and understanding it just allows that to keep moving. So you may like to, whether it's to music or not, you may just want to move your body, stretch your body, walk, take on different exercise, dance. Touch may be through extra hugs with your loved ones. It may be through massage or self-massage. It's really about that connection to our physicality. And I've also spoken about our voice already. So these kinds of activities, both energetically and physically, are a way of bringing us back into our bodies, to bring us back into an awareness of our immediate environment and not let our minds disassociate or create franticness. Instead, we come back into what is real right now. Okay, the third point is really about focusing on what you do have control over. So once we've got to that more calm and centered space, we can see a little more clearly, maybe even a little more rationally, what we do have control over, and of course, what we don't. And so knowing the difference then allows us to exert influence where we can create that influence. So if we're thinking at such a global scale, we individually, we alone may not be able to control major world events, but we can control how we respond to them. And so earlier in the episode, I spoke about this idea of change and transition. And so big world events are this major change that has a ripple effect to all of us, regardless of how we may be impacted. And yet we need to be able to transition internally to move through those emotions, perhaps of confusion and fear and devastation and heartache, in order to process those so we can respond in a way that is powerful. Now, what I would also add here is that how we are able to respond, whether that's to major world events or just change in our own immediate life, is going to be based on how much inner work we have done. So if we have processed our own individual triggers, if we have done the healing work, if we have processed our fears, if we have processed, you know, past traumas or our inner wounds, relative to our own life, then this inner transition piece that I mentioned earlier is going to be a little easier. For some of us, the consistent bang after bang after bang in our outer world is also designed at a much bigger cosmic level to wake us the heck up. And so if we think about our global climate, if we think about some of the predictions, and you can go back in this podcast or go back to the predictions I make in the weekly emails and that I make in the paid forecasts that I share, this was coming. And our geopolitical boundaries and the shifting of our global communities, this is all moving. And while I, in fact, in the annual forecast, which is still available for purchase at thelittlesage.com, I did reference warfare. And I do actually need to go back and listen to it myself. But you know, I wish I was the bearer of better news. We are going to continue experiencing major world events. And so we have to individually wake up. And if we are already awakening and working on ourselves and moving in this direction, we become better placed to help those who may be, for want of a better description, coming behind us. So what we do have control over is our response and our internal world, so that we can then make choices and decisions that align with the change that we want to see, which is a very nice segue into the fourth point. And this is really about the vision that you're holding for yourself. So as I record this podcast today, I have actually just finished the raw recording of the second quarter forecast. So potentially by the time this goes to air, that may be available for you. Or if it's not, it won't be far off. The details for that will also be at thelittlesage.com. But the reason I'm referencing it is that that forecast includes a guided energetic process working with your own energy fields and spiritual support team that allows you to connect with the vision and instigate change. Now, regardless of the change, whether we're talking about outer world change, whether we're like major global life events, world events, or if we're talking about change a little closer to home, whether that is through our workplaces, family, you know, just the day-to-day changes that can occur in our immediate world. Regardless of the change we're trying to create or respond to, we can often panic. And like I said before, we rush to stop what is revolving. We forget that we are actually signed up for things to look different when we step into a revolving restaurant. So to some degree, at a very deep level, we have agreed to take part in such change. Change will mean that things change. And so sometimes the things that we do want will be the effect of that change. But oftentimes the change that comes are changes that we weren't expecting. It can be changes that we can't control and that we simply need to respond to and learn how to influence. And so by holding the vision for your life and for the world that we want, we are required to trust that we are powerful creators who have sent forth ripples of change. And then as we see people and places and ideas that may start to slip away, we need to trust that it is part of the plan. When it comes to major world events, that is really hard to do. And yet, if we can have a bigger perspective, we can understand that we are still moving in the direction of the change we want to see. So that leads me into the fifth and final point I want to share. And it's a thought that I have shared on the podcast and in my books. And the thought is this: what if this was happening for you? Now, I am referencing the vast majority of us listening to this who are not immediately affected, particularly by war right now. But when we are in the middle of our own change, we may not always feel like it is happening for us. When we're in the midst of upheaval and change, we don't always see the silver lining. In fact, we may not even be ready to look for it yet. We just cannot have the perspective needed to see the gift that this kind of change can bring while we're in it. And so there is an element of being patient in our own world as we're experiencing change. When we can take our viewpoint higher, so if we can move beyond our own logical, rational, human minds and take ourselves to see things from a much higher perspective, for example, the perspective of the world of spirit or our spiritual support team, we may indeed begin to see how such change is allowing us to move where we actually said we want to go. If we think about a birthing process, there is a contraction and an expansion. And, you know, you don't have to have been a birthing person to know that contractions are very uncomfortable. But the expansion that comes on the other side is what takes us into that rebirth and takes us into that new beginning. So, this is not necessarily, as I said, a way of influencing change on major global events, but it will hopefully help those of you listening to bring you to a place where you can influence in not just your own world, but the bigger scheme of things happening here on our planet at this time. By acknowledging how you're feeling and taking the appropriate action, it's all we can really do. Acknowledging the emotions, processing the emotions, and then taking the relevant actions, we will continue to change, but perhaps without the overwhelm and the confusion. So, take care of you. Hey, you've made it to the end of another episode, but maybe you're still wanting more. Why not subscribe so you never miss an episode, or go check out thelittlesage.com for all of my tools, tips, and trainings, or we might be a good fit to work together one-on-one. You can check that out at helenjacobs.co.